Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to episode 197 of Born to be Wild, a wild and wild adjacent Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild and wild adjacent formats of Hearthstone and spotlighting members of the wild community. I'm your host, Hydralis. It is great to be back on this beautiful Friday evening here in the greater Vancouver area. I am joined by two of my absolute favorite people. First of all, Electric Sheep City, how are you doing?
Meowdy friend, I'm doing fantastic. Coming at you from the not actually super cold, but about to be super windy Denver Boulder area. Yeah, it's supposed to have winds like 80 to 100 miles per hour tomorrow. It's Yowza. Supposed to get wild, but we get to talk about some wild tonight. And we are also joined by the one, the only, Shmoopy Daddy!
That intro never stops being ridiculous. Happy to be back after bouts of illness and then vacation that also had illness. Coming from the shaken but not stirred Orange County, New York, where we had a couple of earthquakes today, which was not typical.
Oh, no.
And they're only like, there was a 4.8. I think I'll talk about it later, but there's a 4.8 and then there's a 4.0 that like my wife didn't notice and my kids were watching TV, so they didn't notice. I'm like, guys, there's an aftershock. And they're like, so anyway, happy to be back. Excited to be talking on the pod. I definitely missed it. It feels like it's been at least 3 weeks, maybe a month since I've actually shown up. So what are you going to say, Sheep?
Did the aftershock cost 5 or 3?
Bruh. Wow. Well, no one was casting a spell, so I'm assuming it was 5. Okay, we played the full mana cost and we enjoyed it. Anyway. Is there any housekeeping you have to do?
So for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. So however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today. Thank you. Yes. You.
You.
Content plug. Shmoopy Daddy. Before we get to the main topic of the show tonight, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Shakunin and the other patrons of our show. Your support means the world to us. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice. If you're watching live on Twitch, we've got some awesome emotes that you can unlock by subscribing to the channel. This is free if you use Amazon Prime. There are also emotes you can unlock completely free just for following. Born to be Wild merch. Insert picture of my wife. Here's a link to the shop from the main website. I never read the link. Finally, if you'd like to support the show financially, you can join our Patreon for as little as $1 per month. We have a few channels in the Discord that are unlocked by subscribing to the Patreon, where you can see the show coming together each week. Check it out. If you'd like to interact with us personally, please join our Discord, a free and amazing online community of friends all across the world who love talking about Wild Hearthstone. Links to all of this stuff and more can be found on our website, which is www.borntobewildhs.com. Hydralisk, how was your week?
My week was pretty solid. I mentioned last week that I was excited to get my work week over from, you know, the whole month end thing. So got to play some HS, though I will say last weekend was mostly let's clean up the yard weekend. So there was all these leaves and all this stuff. We got the whole family out. Mini Hydra got to use the pressure washer to clean the deck, yeah. Which, funny enough, you know how they've got these video games now that it's like pressure washer simulator and like all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, where we live, we get like a green film sort of algae stuff on everything throughout the winter because it just rains constantly. So in the springtime, when we went to do the pressure washing of the deck, I hand him the gun, right? And he thinks it's cool already. He's got to play with the pressure washer. But once I showed him that you can draw pictures like in the algae that's on the white deck. Yeah, it, all of the things you think a 15-year-old would draw, by the
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So he did his doodles and everything like that, but then his job was... was to clean the whole thing. So he had fun. He did a really good job. I was more of the leaf guy. We've got like these big green bins. I've got two of them that we get to put out each week, you know, for just the garbage truck to come pick up the green stuff. And I filled them instantly and had all these piles of leaves that I needed to wait for the next week. So the next week basically comes now. It was this morning. And I already filled them again with everything that we had raked up. So we had done like so much. So not the most Hearthstone was played, but I did cross the line of the rewards check where you get, you know, your level 50 legendary. So grab that. And so nice. I only got two out of the set that I'm missing. So I'm probably just going to craft those at this point. I mentioned that I was down a few... last week, but yeah, so hit level 50, got two left to do, and then also got the cool bobblehead off of the other rewards track, so that was neat to cross that off too. So done with all that. There's still like 2 weeks left on that one, I think, so if anyone's concerned about not getting your bobblehead, you got some time left.
Everybody's grumpy about that first quest, right, with the Geppetto on it, because it's like an 8-man a minion, and like not everybody has it, and so like a lot of people are like, how am I supposed to fill this quest, right? So like there is probably some consternation of that, but kind of like you said, maybe like the time it being strung out enough, it's not really that big a concern.
Yeah, but if you go into a friendly match with someone who does have it, you can also complete it that way, either by defeating the Geppetto or by borrowing their deck. Either one works.
Tavern Brawl too. I think one of the Tavern Brawl decks had one, and so people were like, "No, go do it with this class in Tavern Brawl." I forget if it was like DK or something like that had it randomly.
I think it was Paladin.
Is Paladin Shaman? And Shaman had it in the first week, but it was only for the first couple days, and then Tavern Brawl re-rolled into a new one.
Got you.
And I actually deleted my Twitter post because I had put, "Hey, everybody, just play Tavern Brawl and you can get it," but that was only effective for the first 2 days, and then I got comments saying, "I've been playing Tavern Brawl and I'm not getting this card at all." And I was like, I'm just gonna delete this because it's not actually relevant anymore. It was only relevant for like 2 days. But yeah, as Sheep said, that's the thing. There's the ability to share decks. If you don't know anybody who has the card, join our Discord. Most of us have the card. We can facilitate if you haven't got there yet, but it's not too out of this realm to complete that entire thing. Like I said, there's still almost two full weeks left at this point on that one, but yeah, it was pretty cool. So other than that, we got a new season that has started in Hearthstone. We're a few days in. I haven't climbed too much yet. As I said, we were a little bit busy. But this weekend, since I've done all my yard work, I feel like it's my time to go. Other than my wife has this 12-kilometer hike planned. So there's that. We're planning on doing that tomorrow after our grocery shop. But other than that, I think I'm going to try to jam.
Sounds easy. Sounds like you're going to be fine. Sheep's doing American math.
12 kilometers, that's like a mile?
Yeah, something like that.
No, it's like 7-8 miles.
Yeah, more like that, yeah. So that's the plan for the weekend. Get some games in and do the hike with my wife and have a good time there. It's supposed to be nice out. And no update for King Corner. I'm still in the exact same two books as last time, but a lot further along. Hopefully by next week I'll have completed both of those. How about you, Sheep? How has your week been?
Yeah, so my week was pretty kickin' rad. On Monday, the season reset. And I ended up with 11x in standard for the first time in a while. So, yeah. I was
in
like
standard.
Check that one off again.
That's impressive.
Thank you. And I'm really enjoying that Demon Hunter deck, so I played it quite a bit on Monday and ended up hitting day one legend, which was pretty kickin' rad too. And I got a couple of screenshots of some funny numbered ranks to kind of accompany that, which is always fun. They're pretty nice and flavorful.
Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, we have the very mature numbers on the screen right now.
Indeed.
Milestones.
Very big milestones. Very fun. Outside of Hearthstone, I've been doing a lot of school and a lot of work. So I think I accidentally like dumped one of my references to a thing in a chat with Hydra the other day. Was like, oh, wrong window.
Yeah, it was funny. You know, of all things you could accidentally send someone, that was probably the most innocent I've ever seen.
It had a link in it, you know, the DOI like link for academic sources.
Was that APA format?
Yeah, it is APA.
I was like, yeah. Oh, whoa, that's APA format.
It was. So a lot of school, a lot of work, hanging out with that little guy. Dude, the little dude, the little lamb is like walking all around now. He like
you're done.
Was on the precipice for like months. You know how I'm like, I mean, he's going to any day now. He's going to any day now. And any day has arrived. Any day has definitely arrived. He's walking all around. You know, every once in a while he kind of like stumbles down, but most of the time, like he's steady on his feet even.
Rock solid.
So
attaboy.
It did not take long.
Attaboy.
So that's my very, very fun milestones here in the city of Electric Sheep. How about in Orange County, New York, Shmoopy Daddy?
Oh, man. Again, I haven't been on for so long. It's hard to recap everything, so I will try to keep it as briefish as I can.
No, give her, man. Let us know.
I usually do like a Shmoopy update and usually tell about like, you know, the misadventures and funny stuff he's doing in kindergarten. But really, he's been kicking it. He's been doing very, very well. Having good day, lots of good days. We got a good shot of getting him and you know, Gen Pop first grade. So let's hope that comes to fruition. He's been doing, but like we keep getting stellar reports from his teacher. So we're excited about that. So that's boring. Nothing comedic from that. I really wanted to do a show with Hydra. Hydra, like, you know, he has this big, awesome, you know, vacay he does with his family, where his wife goes all out and does that huge event in the scavenger hunt. And he's just like, man, I could probably fit in a Saturday. I'm like, all right, bet. Let's do a show on Saturday. And then that very same day, Shmoopy gave me a stomach bug from kindergarten. No, actually, my coworker did, not Shmoopy. My coworker gave me a stomach bug that she got from her kid. So I had a stomach bug. We share a room. And a keyboard. So it's kind of like, if you get it, I get it. And she's like, I've been nauseous all day. I'm like, why are you eating yogurt? Anyway. So I got that.
Choice.
And like, I was not able to do, I feel bad. Cause it's just like, oh yeah, put it in announcements. We're totally going to do a show tomorrow. There was no show the next day. I was down for the count. Which basically knocked me out for next week because we went on vacation. We got a really good deal. We love going to Portland, Maine. It's where my wife and I had our honeymoon, and we keep going back, and we keep sort of making it a family trip. And even though Shmoopy screamed for 3 of the 6 hours there 1 year, he keeps wanting to go back. They've got a really cool children's museum. We love the beer. We love the food. He only screamed for an hour and a half this time, so like that's improvements. And we had a nice time there until my daughter picked up a stomach bug from a play date that they had, that we had right before we left. So that night was fun. Like, again, I was telling these guys off the air, like, you know, it was a hotel. So, like, you know, she would wake up, she'd start chucking her cookies. And, like, it's a hotel. So, like, luckily there's lots of pillows and blankets, but we like started running out. And so, like, by the sixth or seventh time, you're just like, all right, well, we got this towel. I'll just throw it over
room
that
service.
And that'll be fine. Yeah, well, we did that once, right? But, like, now it's 2 a.m. and you're really just, you're trying to go back to sleep or get whatever sleep you can. But daughter was fine the next day. She mostly just wanted cuddles with my wife, thankfully, not me. And so my wife ended up getting it by the time we got back. So that was fun. But that's where I was last week, so I couldn't do the show. But listen back, you guys did a great job summarizing the meta and pretty much playing it out how it was. So that was me in personal life, Shmoopy. Player Shmoopy, I had a really important milestone this month. This month sucked to climb. This was a horrible month. I think in total, I'd have to look back. I played like 110 games or something like that the first of the month. It's a good thing it was a day where like I was home all day, because I was trying everything. I was trying Drag Row Priest. I was trying Dragon Priest with the Inner Fire combo. I was trying literally anything. Big Shaman. I went on a Big Shaman kick for a while. I went through a Big Shaman phase. I had bangs. It was horrible. cut those off. And eventually I settled on Garrote Rogue. And so I did something that I never want to do ever. And that's is I queued up a stream with the intent where I was in D4. And I was like, okay, I'm going to hit Legend on stream. And I hate doing that because I find the first of the month is very personal for me. Sorry, language, hit the thing, whatever. Right. That first of the month. And so super competitive, and I don't think I could handle if chat got hostile or started ribbing me. I would not take kindly to it. There'd be bans left and right. I would probably put the chat in emote only mode. I'd be super pissed. I don't know if it'd be fun or not. Not the usual cantankerous fun Shmoopy who's kind of grumpy because he gets bad decks and he grumps about how bad they are. No, I would just be mad. And it was completely opposite. Played Garrote Rogue, went 17-4. I had like no intention of like, I'd been going basically 50-50, but it turns out that deck's a lot easier to pilot when you have a deck tracker. Who knew?
Yeah.
So I had an amazing record with it, basically like getting up to D5, and then in post D5, I was just getting farmed by even paladins, and I'm just like, oh my god, I gotta switch decks, I gotta try something new, and that's how I found myself, you know, doing Big Shaman and stuff like that, but no, it was awesome, and it was a cool stream, and by the time I hit Legend with it, I felt like a boss because I was playing the deck well. Chat was acknowledging that I was playing the deck well. Everybody was very supportive, and it was really, really cool. And most importantly for me, that marked 2 years of hitting Legend day one in Wild. So I've done that for 2 years now. It started with, Fish Rogue and Sunken Cities, and I've kept it going. And so that's really cool because I'm probably going to be above average Hearthstone player, right? And I play Wild, so it's like, you know, I'm riding a tricycle, not a real big boy bike. But at the same time, not everybody hits the first of the month, and this is something I consider that I do pretty well. And whether there's bots, whether it's not, changing metas, I usually have something to get there. And so to be able to do it 2 years straight, like Alb, the OG, he's like a guy who was like a monster in Wild Hearthstone who doesn't play except for the first of the month. Now he hits Legend the first of the month. He gives his tweet and that's it. He pieces. I'm like Alb, but like, you know, less good. But that's just like my warm fuzzy where it's just like, all right, I did this for 2 years now. Now let's see if I can make it three. Drive myself nuts for another 12 months. And then there's the content creator Shmoopy. This week I started a YouTube channel, which is cool.
I did.
It's mostly me just like dumping my VODs on. Martian Boo's been encouraging me behind the scenes, being like, listen, why don't you just like start something? Just do that. Just start dumping VODs and then see where it goes. And then aside from that, I'm doing like little clips of like cool games where it's just like, oh yeah, this was fun, or like, oh, this was a neat experience, or like, oh, here's me reading The Night Before Christmas. I haven't put that up yet, but I will. Where, you know, you just throw it on there and it's like, oh yeah, all right, we you know, we're an actual content creator now. And probably most importantly, as far as the content creator side goes, though, is I got my content creator program care package thanks to you guys, taking me on the podcast, bringing me under the content creator, you know, umbrella that Born to Be Wild is in. I got my little care package, or I got a sweet cool T-shirt that you can't see, but I'm wearing today. Where is it? Where? I don't want to rip my sweatshirt. I heard something ripping. I got a really cool water bottle with some engraved. It says Hearthstone content creator on there now.
Yeah.
I got a box. So cool. Wait, I got a box. Here's the box. The box says well played, chat. The box says well played. I played well. The opponent even said it.
even the box is BMing you.
And so I can't even, like, you know, I can't even say, well, no, I'm not a content creator, and then have Blister Guy absolutely eviscerate me in the show field feedback. I am officially a content creator now. I even got the cool detailed pen to prove it. So that was really, really cool. And honestly, I have to thank you guys the most for that, because without you guys bringing me on, I wouldn't be there. So thank you. And that was my massive week.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
We got some esports news. So save the date. So Sheep, do you want to take us away on this Hearthstone Masters Tour news?
Absolutely. So tune into the Masters Tour Spring Championship to see who wins it all. Next weekend, Friday through Sunday, April 12th through 14th. Sports, electronic sports. We're playing sports and it's on the internet. Esports.
I feel like this was a monster truck rally.
That's what I was going for.
Do we have time? Do we have time to talk about how people were a little bit grumpy about this, given it's like,
sure,
10 days notice? I remember Pocket Train, I think a day or a couple of days before this, was just like, we're told there's a Masters Tour. We're told that our results count. We've been given zero communication. This is why I'm not competing this particular year, I think is what Pocket Train was basically saying. So the person who won essentially last year's Worlds is just like, I'm not doing Masters Tour. It's just too much. And I mean, he had his own issues too, I think, last year, where like he was,
he was no lifing, grinding.
And he was trying to set up like travel to like be in the States when he was competing. And then they were just like, yeah, it's going to totally be in November. And it was in December instead. And so like he had to move his travel plans. Like it was just like a nightmare for him. Makes sense that he's just like, I'm going to wash my hands of the situation. But then we get like kind of the short notice, like, hey, by the way, Masters Tour. And it's happening 10 days from now. So people are a little bit grumpy about that.
From a, you know, just spectator perspective, like, it doesn't affect me negatively too much. From a participant and or caster perspective, like, I would be super grumpy as well, because this is not just like a hangout for like maybe an hour each day. This is like full days completely set aside. One of them's a Friday. If people are in different time zones and they may need to like do something with their sleep schedule, make some sort of like scheduling plans in order to actually make sure that they can be at all of these things. So I totally understand why they're grumpy. Yeah, exactly. If they're in NA, book the day off work for Friday. Like
I'm not allowed to take to call a personal day outside of 2 weeks notice. I have to give it at least 14 days notice. So
yeah, there you go.
I'm not participating in the Masters Tour, shocker to no one. But if I were, like, and I was given this, like, I'm going to call out sick and then show my face on camera for hours at a time the day of. Like, I mean, yeah, I've seen it
for hundreds of thousands of people.
I've seen it happening for opening day baseball, let's just say that, in my career. But like, it's not a good situation. And then we got Hat's tweet, which is interesting and telling and has lots of information.
Yeah, so Hat's tweet, which is from earlier today, says, "A note from design. The Masters Tour will be played on the current patch with no changes. However, on the 16th, the BG Duos patch will launch with a balance change for Demon Hunter." We're not covering the BG Duos patch too intensely, but there will be a patch on the 16th. This is an extra change. We'll have the normal patch window 9 to 14 days after 29.2 as usual. So the esports will be April 12th through 14th esports. On the current patch. And then on the 16th, Demon Hunter will get a little bit of a nerf for a treat. And honestly, part of me gets that thing because Demon Hunter is, like, you know, the best deck in Standard right now. But golly, I gotta say, if and when Demon Hunter gets whatever nerf maybe coming down the runway, words are hard.
Path.
Yeah.
Runway's
free. It's gonna be Control Stone, and it's gonna be very boring. And I'm not super looking forward to that, because right now Demon Hunter being relatively fast is all that's kind of keeping those in check, and it's not going to be in check too much longer after that. But Wheel Warlock can be a thing, so yeah, it's going to be Wheel Warlock versus Warrior.
There's pretty like much Plague
exclusively.
DK? Plague DK
could be Plague DK. Plague DK is good into Wheel Warlock and good against Warrior too. Especially the Highlander variants. Warrior has a lot of different variants in Standard right now, which is kind of interesting. So there's a couple different Highlander components. One that's like pure control, one that's like we call Flat Earth, so it runs some duplicates, but it still runs the Brand and Reno package.
Looks like
and
hell
just
on
like
paper.
Cycles like whoa. I don't like it.
Looks like hell on paper. If you look at the deck list, it's just like so many one ofs. It's like it's not just like a, we'd say like a wild like Chinese list or something like that, but it like somehow works even. It looks even more demented than that because it's like a bunch of one of good cards instead of like one of like tech choices or like you know, parts where you can tell the player's trying to break parity for a certain matchup. It's just like, no, we're only going to run one of this because I can't have too many duplicates. It's just, it's demented.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. If Plague DK counters some of the stuff, I'm down for that because I love Plague DK.
Yeah, there's also the Highlander Tentacle Warrior. So you run Bran's your highest minion, so you also run like Talon Fordring. And then once your battle cries are doubled, all of the tentacles are doing double. So that doesn't mean that it's doing one twice. That it means it's playing a one cost and then a two cost and then a three cost and then a four cost. And then whenever it gets up to 10, Standard is in a four set meta. It is either doing table flip or the mage spell, which does 10 damage randomly assigned, like Astalor, and summons a 10-10.
And props a 10-10.
Or not 10-10, but a 10 drop. My bad.
I got you.
Yeah. And it does, you know, it caps out at 10. So it's either doing two of the mage spell or two a table flip or one of each. And the deck runs a number of different ways to get additional tentacles. And that deck is honestly a little fun to play once or twice. And then it's just like, okay, I get it. It's just stall, tentacle, go.
Yeah.
And it's not interactive at all.
I have enjoyed like small discover pools. Like I hit Legend a couple times, the last Standard meta with, once was with Thief Rogue. Like I thought Thief Rogue was like a lot of fun because of the, you know, you knew basically what you were going for and your discovers were all good and that was cool. But like that, the fact that it's a binary, you're either dealing a pyroblast spread amongst the board and printing a 10-10 or nothing's going face and you're dealing 3 AoE to the board and possibly nothing's happening and you're fizzling, I would find that absolutely infuriating.
Well, it runs enough like ways to copy cards that it's like, okay, well, coin flip, coin flip, coin flip, coin flip. Do it again, do it again.
is the ETC like Geppetto and like Yogg? So like you're like throwing
main decks Geppetto.
What?
Yeah.
It main decks Geppetto.
Oh, it main decks Geppetto. Oh. Okay. Uh-huh.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
So good.
So in the ETC, it runs like the one that makes tentacles, the 5 drop, which of course it also main decks. A card that like bounces it back to your hand, which it also main decks, and then I can't remember the third one. But yeah, you're just going for additional ways to make tentacles. So all to say, I hope the Demon Hunter isn't hit too hard, because if control just spirals out of control, then these are the things that are going to just be kind of more homogenous, and we're going to either be playing Wheel Warlock or Plague DK. And I don't mind Plague DK, but like, how old is that now for standard? Like, that's getting a little long in the tooth for the format. So
I hit Legend with it last month before the set reset. But I was playing like in the Franken meta with like Construct Quarters and stuff like that, and that deck was cool.
Yeah,
like, I liked that. You guys both got an opportunity to get grumpy about the balance patch last week. I didn't get an opportunity to get grumpy about the balance patch.
Would you like to get grumpy?
I'm gonna get a little grumpy. I totally understand getting like deputization aura and stuff like that. I don't get not hitting Reno.
I specifically brought that up just for you.
I know. I heard. I was impressed. I was just like, thanks, guys. It's like, they do here. But like, I didn't get to like vent my spleen on the air about it. And so I hated every aspect of the last balance patch, mostly because it wasn't necessarily balancing anything in wild, which is fine. Like, I wasn't expecting like any kind of wild balance change. Maybe the floop gloop change, but honestly, like from what I understand, like those things take some traction, because it does take like man time to go through, and they're worried about just balancing standard. From people who play standard competitively, it felt like way too many balance changes right off the bat. Like at least more than double that we usually get, at least, I would say. Somewhat of a reaction to, like, I guess they felt like Hand Buff Paladin was too good, and it kind of feels still good now, so maybe that some of that was warranted. But for our perspective, from a WoW perspective, like, it was just a kick in the nards to like two classes that did not need it in Wild, in where like Skipper Warrior was already struggling. And like Mechathune Warrior, I'm sorry, Magma Ranger. Mechathune Warrior is a fake deck. It's a fake deck. It's horrible.
When we looked at the list, we're like, what is this?
Yeah, you do the
here?
Chemical spill. You guys got there. You do the chemical. So like, you're supposed to basically, like, the game plan is, well, if I gain 120 armor, I have enough time to dump my hand and blow up my Mechathune on turn 8. And then I have one nerd in Discord who's just like, well, actually, Mechathune Warrior can win on turn 5. I'm like, riddle me that. And there's apparently a Thaddeus version that's even more demented than the one that is like a little bit like able to be shared. But in any case, like, Warrior is just in a horrible place. I think the best Warrior deck is even Warrior with Odin in the ETC, unironically. Yeah. I played it on stream this week and I was just like, this actually feels okay compared to everything else I've played. And by the way, the Mechathune Warrior list has been nerfed like 3 times already because of the balance changes from this last patch. So like, Warrior did not need to get hit in Wild, and like, it was already down. And now you're just like, I don't know. Now it's on the floor. You're lining up the kick to the face. Like, it just wasn't great. Paladin is in a similar position where like, it had some cool playable decks, and you're just basically just ripping out the rug from those. Those aren't playable anymore. So I hated everything with last week's balance patch. And apparently this balance patch hasn't been well received in Standard either. Touching Demon Hunter at all. Appears to be possibly a little bit of a mistake. The power swing of, like, you know, let me make a 3-mana 6/5 that does something goofy on 3 seems to be a little too much.
Really fun.
I mean, Sheep loves it because Sheep is maining it. But, like, this is like a perfect example of this is, and we can.
And
we
I was maining it before the, you know, last patch, whenever it was, you know, high tier 2. So,
And we can speak hipster to this. It's interesting that they're choosing to play the Masters Tour on this patch. They probably don't have a choice, but
right.
there's an argument for, like, the current Standard meta is not well curated, and this is what they're going to play on the Masters Tour. Everybody's going to bring Demon Hunter, and nobody's going to be able to play it because everybody's going to ban it. Now, some people say, hey, like Ron Mexico, who's someone a Standard player that I respect, plays THL, streams regularly.
Fantastic often, player.
A fantastic player. Often in like the top 500. I don't know if I've ever seen him below the top 500 in Standard. Playing whatever he wants. Sometimes he says, bad deck. All right, time to play a good deck. And he swaps off. But he likes to do deck roulettes and stuff like that. Great player. You know, like I'm watching his stream titles and it's always just like... Welcome to your Demon Hunter Emporium. Demon Hunter, like he can't swap off anything else. But he says that the Masters Tour might still be interesting because if everybody's banning the best deck, the counter moves after that become like, okay, well, what do you choose to bring then? What farms the rest of the field if you're always shutting down Demon Hunter? Because I don't think you can really target Demon Hunter. I know, like, Warrior is supposed to be a bad matchup and, like, I don't know. You can kind of tune your list so that you're just sort of outlasting them. I'm up to D3 with the Demon Hunter Drooler deck. Like, it's not, it's clear as like a clear, it feels like a clear power outlier that I can play it this early in a month in Standard and I can climb with it as successfully as I have.
Ladder, you just queue up a game and whatever you play against, you play against. In a tournament, if there's one deck that is going to, you know, run away with it, the tier one deck, you know, you bring it, your opponent brings it, you both ban it, and then you get to play with
whatever
the fair
best
decks
after that, and that becomes interesting. And, like, you know, Maxi would find the best deck in the listener series. Mm-hmm. We'd all have the code. We all would say, okay, we're going to ban that deck. And if your opponent didn't ban it, you said, oh, you didn't play against Maxi, did you? Okay. Right. And
got
so,
a free win that week.
Okay.
Nice.
Got a free win that week.
For one of the games.
For one of the games. Right. And then we go, oh, sorry. And then, I thought that was interesting where, like, people, there's a lot of griping that it's a short turnaround. Two, there's a lot of griping that wasn't a good balance patch. Three, there's a lot of griping that's just like it's a bad balance patch and it's the Masters Tour coming together in a confluence. And maybe we don't have to be that negative because maybe it will still be an interesting show because we'll be seeing the next best and the next best and the next best and the next best kind of pop off after that.
And honestly, maybe a really good glimpse into what the Standard meta looks like whenever Demon Hunter has had some balance adjustments. Are we going to see what we think we're going to see in the control, like, greed off, essentially? Are we going to see Wheel Warlock and Plague DK? We'll see. And I think that'll be really interesting to see how that develops and what the best players think will be the next best decks.
Or so just only not time even the tell. Next best decks, but maybe like good into the next best decks.
Right. Yeah.
Because tournament metas, for that reason, tournament metas are always like a little interesting, a little like, huh. And like, which is why if you then net deck the tournament, the Masters Tour, you may not in fact see the same success that those players end up seeing.
Exactly.
So your mileage may vary greatly. What is this? I'm a wild player. The brain rot goes pretty deep. What is this BGs?
All right. Let me pull up, this BGs, duos thing. that we have here. And now I am not the biggest expert on duos. Maybe she could talk to a little bit more, but basically this was announced, I believe, at BlizzCon.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they have here on the Play Hearthstone page is, it says, grab a friend or make a new one. BG's Duos is nearly here. They've been hard at work since they originally announced it. But basically, from what I can tell, is instead of 1v1v1v1 all the way up to 8 players, now they've separated into you have a partner and you share a life total and you go in together into this thing and try to win as a duo.
Exactly. And you can also, there's like a little portal that you can drag minions from your hand into. It costs a gold to then give something to your partner. There's some duo specific heroes and minions that interact with that feature. You know, if like Hydra's going beasts, and I don't know what minions are going to be in there, but let's say Mama Bear. I don't think that's going to be in there, but let's say I see a Mama Bear and I know that Hydra's going beast. I can buy the Mama Bear. I'm not going beast. It doesn't do me any good, but then I can pass it off to Hydra, who then is able to continue to develop his board.
That's cool.
And so it really helps to actually be in communication with your teammate rather than just kind of like queuing into random like teammates and talking in Discord and stuff like that, because you could be like, oh, I'm really looking for this. Oh, I'm really doing that. And it looks like a really fun, like, casual mode for me.
Oh, I feel like to maximize any sort of fun or win rate here, it's got to be like a voice chat situation, right? Like, yeah, you could queue in with somebody else, and if you guys have been playing long enough and you can hover each other and see like what they're going and what you're going, you can, that could be intuitive enough maybe to like an advanced BG's player to be able to coordinate, but chat has to be the way to go. Voice chat has to be the way to go for this.
Yeah, and I think that there are some like different like duos specific like emotes and stuff like that that you can communicate with your teammate with. I enjoy Battlegrounds as like a, you know, hang out on the couch, half paying attention. Sometimes I just miss my own turn, like whatever, I don't care. Battlegrounds is just my casual mode, right? So I'll probably have fun with Battlegrounds duos, but am I going to take it at all seriously? No. And that's okay. It's good to have a casual mode too.
Yeah. Well, if anyone is super interested in this, this is Battlegrounds Season 7, and it is starting on April 16th. Battlegrounds Duos. I mean, it honestly sounds cool. If this was my main mode, I think I would be super stoked.
Yeah.
Like, I think that we've been asking for like a co-op mode in the game for a long time. It's not been a main thing everyone asked for, but it's been something that's been thrown out there, you know, here and there, and this is kind of a cool way.
What do you mean? We got those great tavern brawls where we got to blow up the robot.
And no one understands how to do it. Thanks, Shmoopy Daddy. We're like, oh, let's just kill your enemy and not understand how to blow up the robot.
So it's the first game. Like, you notice once the idiot goes face, you're just like, all right, I'm going to concede. This guy doesn't know what's going on.
I'm not going to waste my time.
I was that guy once, by the way. I was that guy once. I'm like, I'm killing this guy so fast. And, like, the guy hung in there for some reason. He's just like, I don't get what's going on.
So, I think everyone was that guy once.
And then you figure it out.
You get one.
You
chance.
Get one.
Like, one. You just get one, and that is it. If you do it again, then I don't know.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's move into a bit of a special topic. There's a new deck that's kind of been out there on Ladder, and I think Shmoopy Daddy's got a little he wants to say about it. So let's talk a little bit about Even Pally.
This is the weird part about this deck. This deck seemingly didn't exist before the balance patch. Post the balance patch, so like Tempo Storm didn't feature at all on their meta report. And data suggests early on in the month so far, I know Corb tracks its win rate on like Donkey and stuff like that, that it's like S tier on ladder, that it's like one of the best decks. So how did Tempo Storm miss this? And like, what's the full story and what's the weird thing that happened? So post balance patch, you guys said, oh, well, Zilliax will get even pal. Well, you know, even Pally gets Zilliax. It does get Zilliax. Mm-hmm. And Zilliax looks like right now it's like this either the first or second best card in the deck. First being Call to Arms. Second being, I think, Zilliax. And I think the third one that you're supposed to keep is like Showdown or something like that. So
maybe Weblord.
I don't think you keep Weblord because of because of Call to Arms. So because of Call to Arms, you want to pull minions out of your deck. You don't necessarily want to have them in your hand to play on turn two. So Corb says that he's currently playing this. He likes this deck. These are his personal stats. So over 66 games total, he's 42-24, and we're talking about a guy who's playing towards the top of the meta. So he is playing, you know, I see screenshots of him playing. He's playing rank 2, rank 3, rank 4, and kind of going from there. Jeep, what are your first impressions of Even Paladin thus far, since like it sort of just sort of popped up? I noticed it on like the 31st, and I was just like, this deck seems good. I'm climbing with it. And then on the first day of the month, I felt like I was absolutely getting farmed with it. What do you think about it so far?
So I have kind of two thoughts about it. One is that I'm not sure why we're playing it even. You know, it seems kind of like Taxes Paladin just with a guaranteed one drop with your hero power and a very expensive patches. That said, Taxes Paladin is good. We've got Call to Arms. We've got Zilliax. We've got Weblord. I've seen some builds with like Dirty Rat, you know, different ways to interact with your opponent like that. Corb's list and the one that I've played plays Rebuke. You know, so a lot of like disruption, a lot of low curve, just no one drops. So I think that since there's no like Silverhand Recruit, like particular payoffs, I'm just not sure exactly why we're really running it as even. That said, Taxes Paladin is good, so it makes sense that this is doing well. It just, you know, can high roll a little higher or low roll a little lower, and then it has some of the consistency with being able to push button on turn one. But I don't understand why it's necessarily in.
Can I possibly take up the flag there?
I would love for you to do that thing.
So I think the hero power being one is mostly relevant because of how wide you're trying to go. We are running Crusader Aura, which is again flat busted. Not one of the top three cards in the deck necessarily on the mulligan, but it is. You know, it's your big finisher. Mm-hmm. And so being able to weave in an extra minion, which even if it's a 1/1 Silverhand Recruit, is 3 damage off of Crusader's Aura, assuming you have one up. We can stack auras now, so it can be as much as, you know, representing 5 damage, a single 1/1. So, like, I think you're trying to go super wide. I will say something else that Corb's list is doing that I think a lot of other Taxes Paladin lists aren't doing is he's running 2 of Flash Sale. So Flash Sale, for a reminder of those at home, it's a 4-mana card that prints an Annoyotron, but also buffs the rest of your board by, what is it, +1/+2?
I think 1/2. Maybe 2/1? But it gives a buff.
Yeah, so it's like you're playing the 4-mana magnetic mech, but it's like also giving a board buff at the same time, and it's a spell, so it can be countered. All right, it's not a one for one, but you get the idea. So the
+1/+2.
So the wider you can get, the more value you're going to get out of something like Flash Sale. And you can't. You're never using the hero power in Taxus Paladin unless you're absolutely desperate to use two mana, right? So weaving in the one mana hero power is important there. I think because it's running Prismatic Beam, because it's running Showdown, I think if you're still playing Wild and you're an idiot who's still playing for board like I do still, this is one of the dominant decks that you have to consider because of the huge swings with Prismatic Beam and Showdown. I mean, that's just, it's a tool that the deck has that is unique to any aggro deck where it's just, it can just flip the deck. It can just completely flip the matchup. And I imagine mirrors are hell because you're literally just got beam. You got beam and Showdown swings like crazy. And so like you're winning, you're not winning, you're winning, you're not winning, you're winning, you're not winning. What's really interesting though, when we kind of take a little bit of a deep dive in Korb's stats, is he's got two columns. He's got wins on the play and wins with the coin. His record, his total record is 42-24. When he is on the play, he's 24-11. Wow. When he's with the coin, he's 18-13. So when he's on the play, when he's going first, you're talking like a, is that like a just rough numbers, 66, near 70% win rate? When you're looking at going second with the coin, when you're going second, it drops down to barely better than 50, 52, 50, 53, 54. How much of that is pushed up by, you know, just his skill as a player? So I think something that happens, because we've got Ben from work in chat who is molding and saying, I think Paladin is bad. Paladin's still bad. Paladin sucks. Paladin bad. Right. And I've been on stream defending it. And then I tried to win a game and I lost 5 games in a row. But you know what? Looking back, pretty sure all 5 of those games I was going second. I think this deck really has this crazy problem where if it's going second, it is so much worse than if it was going first. And that can lead to small sample size, taking over a short period of time, some very strong feelings about the deck one way or another. I know people like NHL fan who I respect who say fake deck can't get a win with it. And Korb's over here, he's just like, the win rate keeps climbing. I keep climbing with it. It might be the most brain dead deck in the format. Like, it's really strong. I don't know. And I think it's this really interesting case study of, I do think it's a good deck. I think we finally have hit a critical mass of good cards for the meme deck. I think it's even Warrior 2.0. We have given the meme deck enough good cards. It's a good deck now, chat. But it does have this crazy interesting issue that where if it's going second, it is a very middling deck. But if it's going first, it's a murder machine. So it's like, I think it's probably a good deck to climb with. I saw a ton of them day one. They were eating my lunch. I was playing Garrote Rogue. If you look at the Garrote, if you look at the Rogue stats, period, just in that column, Korb is 10-10 into Rogue. I would never guess that you'd be 10-10 into Rogue. Going first, he's 5-3. Going second, he's 5-7. So, like, say no more. If he's going second, he's at a significant disadvantage. So I think that's just something to keep in mind when we say that, like, yes, this is a really good deck. Yes, this is probably a tier one deck. You could argue based on stats, if you assign tier based on win rate, it might be an S tier deck. But, big asterisk, it does have a critical weakness. And that critical weakness is a literal coin flip.
At the very beginning of the game. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's just, I was super impressed by this deck because I kept losing to it. And then on stream, I kept beating it. And so which is it? And the answer is probably that simple. Is it going first? Is it going second? And like a lot of people would say, that's the big deal with Even Shaman too. I think it's a little bit more pronounced with this deck than Even Shaman.
When you were beating it, what were you playing?
I was playing Garrote Rogue. So, like, I got farmed by 3 even Paladins right off the bat with Garrote Rogue. I entered D5 3 stars I went bop, 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 went right down to the floor. I was just like, all right, I got to switch. Let me try Skipper Warrior. Worst mistake of my life. Don't go back to ex-girlfriends. All right, so it didn't work out. And then I started trying, I forget. I tried Drago Priest, and I'm like, I hate this. I hate my life. I've queued into a XL
guy.
Reno Priest. No, this isn't me working. Too. This is terrible. And then
that
I
would be a hard matchup.
I tilted off of that into Dragon Priest with the Inner Fire package, and it's just like, this is okay. I've won one game, but I've lost two. Screw this. And that's when I had my bangs and my big shaman era. It was a dark time. I got up to D3, and then I realized I was playing big shaman, and so I got bored and I swapped off to. I was like, you know what, Garrote got me here. Let's see if I can do it on stream, and I went from there. No, I didn't do that. I actually switched to Garrote Rogue, tilted down to D4, and I was just like, screw this. Everybody would get the laugh at me. Let me go stream this. And that's how that went. So yeah, I think this is the big story, the big discussion in Wild right now is the refinement of Even Paladin, and just like, it's weird, just kind of like, why is it here now? Is it good? Is it bad? I've tried it. It sucks. No, it's good. What do you mean? I've won 7 in a row. It's just, it's one of those things just to, you know, if you want to be informed on the state of Wild, this is one of the things to know about. And now you are informed.
Yeah. And that all makes complete sense. And seeing the breakdown between being on the play and being on the coin is super illuminating. And that consistent turn one, push the button. You don't have to worry about whether you draw your Righteous Protector or other random one drop that you're playing. You've got a turn one play, period.
Yeah.
It makes a lot more sense now.
And you can buff it with Hand of a Doll, right? And I never read the deck list out loud, and I kind of feel bad for that. So why don't I just do that real quick? Korb's running 2 of Crab Rider, 2 of Gold Panner, 2 of Hand of a Doll, 2 of Hi-Ho Silver, 2 Mining Casualties, good card, 2 Nerubian mm-hmm. Weblords, 2 Rebukes,
great
that's
card.
Sort of your Tech W slot. You could possibly even run Frozen Feet, or what is it? What is it called? Frozen Over, whatever, the 2-mana, like, make your minions, like, the minion Lotheb spell if you want to there, but Rebuke's usually good.
Yeah.
That's a meta call. 2 Showdowns, 2 Call to Arms, 2 Crusader's Aura, 2 Flash Sales, 2 Tigress Plushies, newly nerfed, though stealth buffed for Even Paladin. I've actually never played with this card in Even Paladin. I don't know if it's any good or not. I could see it being decent. Again, for the same reason of it's rush minions and you've got Crusader's Aura. And hey, I've got a 1-1 with Divine Shield and it can rush and it's going to get buffed by Crusader's Aura.
And it really cleans up your curve.
Mm-hmm. One Gen Grain. One Gen Grain main. We should probably cut that card. 2 Horn of the Wind Lords. 2 Prismatic Beams. And the Ziliax Deluxe 3K is the Pylon module and the Ticking module. So it is the Stormwind Champion that gets cheaper for every minion on board.
And is a 3/5.
And is a 3/5.
All right. So in the last Tempo Storm meta snapshot.
Yes.
So I'm looking at tier one.
Yes.
Right? So we know. So we got this new hotness with this Even Paladin.
Uh-huh.
But I think we have to mention, and Sheep and I didn't really get to talk about much, but Garrote Rogue.
Sure.
Right? So that is something that has also been the talk of the town
mm-hmm.
in the Wild format. But also in the same tier one class, we have Pirate Rogue, right? So
mm-hmm.
Garrote Rogue is Pirate Rogue, but it has a bit of a different end game.
Sure.
Right? So what I was looking for, I guess, from you, Shmoopy Daddy, if you don't mind to indulge me on this one, is Pirate Rogue is a well-refined deck with all of the different synergies and everything. And then we've got Garrote Rogue, who has, let's say, 80% of what Pirate Rogue has, but a bit of a different game plan in the end. Both tier one. I just want to know what your maybe opinion is on what's the better way to play Rogue at this point in time. Even though So I guess my statement on it is Groat Rogue is the new hotness. Is it actually better or is it not?
Sure. So I will push back a little bit on the premise where I don't think Pirate Rogue is tier one. Last week I was giving you data. I think I slipped you guys data again that like Corbett was showing on his Discord of like, hey, here's the initial win rates at the beginning of the set. And beginning of the set, aggro decks are going to farm on refined jank. So Pirate Rogue probably getting a little bit of a boost from that. Tempo Storm placed Pirate Rogue, I think, in tier two. I would have to double check. Maybe
it was tier one.
Was it in tier one in Tempo Storm?
Yeah, it is. It is tier one. Yeah. So it goes Garrote Rogue, Priest, and then Pirate Rogue.
Okay. All right. So let's say it is tier one. Where one of the main differences between the two, I would say, aside from initial approach for Garrote Rogue is you need boat. The deck doesn't work without boat.
Hard
find boat
for boat.
So you're relying on boat a lot more. Because you're relying on boat a lot more, you're also running things like counterfeit coins. You're running Shadow Steps. You're running Shadow of Demise for another Shadow Step or sometimes another Garrote. Garrote Rogue in general is cycling harder than Pirate Rogue can, and it's doing it in earlier turns. Not only that, you are bouncing your prize plunderers constantly. I have a nasty little clip that I got on my stream where it's like a 3.5 minute clip where like I end my turn. My opponent's a Miracle Rogue. They make 3 8/8s. They trade with one of them and they make a 4/4 also. And in that same turn, right, they've cleared some of my stuff. I drop a boat. And I have 2 prize plunderers and 3 shadow steps in my hand. I clear their entire board.
Yeah.
And I start drawing into fatigue. So, like,
yep.
The things that Garrote Rogue can do, I think, that are different than Pirate Rogue would be, number one, it can abuse the prize plunderers a lot more with things like shadow step. It's cycling a lot harder because of it's focused so heavily on, okay, let's just crack boat open. So you have the mana cheat. You have coins and stuff. In fact, don't be surprised if later versions of Pirate Rogue start sort of stealing those elements. I've already seen people try to make, like, you know, Corb said, has sort of hinted at, like, you might want counterfeit coins in Pirate Rogue to take care of the boat, by the way. That might just be something you start seeing creep into decks late into the expansion when we get more data, when we start seeing, okay, what's doing well, what's not doing well. Let's see players iterate on things. Somebody hits rank one with a Pirate Rogue that's got counterfeit coins in it. Suddenly you see it everywhere in the Chinese community. If you see it everywhere in the Chinese community, you're going to start seeing it in the Western community because people are going to be like, I keep losing to that crap. What is that deck list? Let me try it. I think the biggest things are it sacrifices the direct damage of the weapon for heavier cycling, abusing abusing the prize plunderers, excuse me, sorry. Ultimately, just to get down to a 32 damage combo that you could pop off with as early as turn 5. I know Tempo Storm says it's 48, and yes, the high roll would be 48, but it's very difficult to pull off 48 on turn 5. It's difficult to deck out on turn 5 and then play 3 Garrotes, but you could. So the fact that it's an aggro deck, but then, I have a combo where if you reno back to 30, I really don't care. That's a big difference in approach as well. So I think it's probably the most fun deck you could play right now. I think it's really cool. Because again,
I think it's fun.
You can play some aggro. You can flood the board. You can do that kind of thing. And then also you can end up setting up. If it's not working out, if none of that's working, who cares? You got a 32 card. You got a 32 damage combo at the end of things. And you can kind of start working towards that.
Yeah, it can draw a little dead.
You can get lost at sea. You 100% can.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was my biggest issue with it. I had a lot of fun. Like, when it goes off, I'm telling you, it goes off. And if you can, like, hold for a minute and be like, okay, no, I got boat. I'll wait an extra turn and I'm going to go off, right? And it just cycles and cycles, and you can get through your entire deck so fast, and it can be extremely rewarding. But as Sheep said, sometimes I have Shadow Steps and counterfeit coins in my hand. Oh, no.
And nothing. Yeah, and it's just nothing. And you know what? Those hands will happen. But it's kind of like, I would almost liken it to, like, if you guys remember the old Pokemon move Fire Blast, where it was like 120 power but 85% accuracy, but if you hit the opponent, you only had 5 charges of it. Like, they knew it was busted. But if you used it, it was going to pop off more often than not. But sometimes you were going to draw dead. You just have to, like, believe in the law of averages that it's going to sort itself out. Mm-hmm. Part of that is going to be proper mulliganing. I hard mulligan for boat. OTZ, who's a better player than me, says, I think you always keep pick 2. He looks at it as, like, a mulligan is like a draw 1, whereas pick, you're always playing it on 2. You're always drawing 2. So in theory, you dig for boat more efficiently than that. I can't reconcile that inside my screeching chimp brain. So I'm just going to continue to hard mulligan for boat. But that's just better mulligan advice from a better player, as far as how he would play it. Because, like, getting the draw engine is that critical. So even if you have this really cool play, and it depends on the matchup too. If you think you're playing against an even shaman, one drop pirate, Brigand, like, you're not going to throw that away. Just play for board and, like, hope that the deck is going to bail you out with how it's built, that you're going to draw into it. Will it fail you sometimes? Sure, but you've got 2 gear shifts and you got 2 secret passages. And you've got boat. Like even if boat only draws 2, like, it's drawing 2. Like, it's you can really get unstuck from a lot of things if you start drawing your other draw sources.
Unrelated advice. With Hydralisk.
So Hydra,
your
children are older than mine. Your child is older than mine. What is your go-to vomit removal method when the stomach bug strikes?
All right, so I would suppose my child, his legs work a little better than a smaller child's, right? So okay. I can bring him to the bathroom if I can. Obviously, he right. can get up. It's like, get your butt up and let's go, right?
Okay, right,
but
right, right.
When he was a bit younger, you mentioned that you had a thing where you kind of, like, threw a blanket or a towel over it. That is not incorrect. So
okay.
There was a time where my son had a slew of stomach bugs, and this sounds real bad, but we just made sure we had a lot of blankets.
Okay. So,
he threw up on a blanket, and it would have that gross sort of, like, milky smell or 100%, whatever.
100%.
But so Walmart has this fantastic thing where they sell comforters for $18. And my wife and I did this thing where every weekend when we went to Walmart for a while, we're like, we're just going to buy another comforter for $18. So we got all these comforters. So, like, if we got guests, all these things, like, this was the goal, that we just have all these
yes,
comforters.
Yes.
Right. And then my kid threw up on one, and we were like, high five. We got another comforter, right? So we just, like, grabbed that old one. We just chucked it, like, in the spare bedroom and got him another one. Guess what? He puked on that one too, Shmoopy Daddy.
Throw it on the pile.
What do you
Throw
know?
Throw it on the pile.
We got another one. Throw it on the pile.
But it's the order of operations, throwing the comforter down or towel before he throws up on it rather than throwing up and then throw a towel over it to hide it. I see what you're on to there, Hydra. That technology, that technology is super innovative. I love it.
Are we reactive or proactive?
Yeah. You know? It's the aggro mindset. I love it.
I can honestly say, wiser words were never spoken. And you heard that on...
Born to be... Wilder.